Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. As we again awake from the many unprecedented liberty-stripping mandates and the tragic loss of life of dear loved ones from the COVID-19 that have taken place these last several months, let us realize that the Apostle Paul clearly reveals to us that the mystery of iniquity is at work in the earth, more so now in the 21st century than even when Paul penned those noble words 2,000 years ago in the second book of Thessalonians. The man of sin, or the son of perdition, otherwise known as the Antichrist, is on the threshold to make his presence known on the world stage. But God has his restrainer, who has prevented this blasphemer from making his appearance for 2,000 years. My new sermon series is about the restrainer himself, who is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. The title of this series is The Messenger. The great 18th century evangelist George Whitefield, the father of the first Great Awakening, said the Holy Spirit was the least known, least loved, and least worshiped member of the Trinity. So, I will attempt to make him known to you these next several weeks. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to transmit the resurrected Lord to mankind. He brought and still brings power and comfort to the Lord's church. He is also commonly known as a comforter. In this series, we will look at his person, who he is. I will discuss the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the temple of our body, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of sanctification, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, including the fruit of the Spirit, plus much, much more. Each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. Remember, a significant moniker for Crown of Life Baptist Church on this radio station, our website, and Facebook page is "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When he is not present, neither is liberty. Just look at the many countries in the world today where liberty does not exist. My friend, Paul earnestly pleads with us to heed the Lord's ominous warning to quench not the Spirit. The Messenger, Part 1.
The design of my message to teach on the Holy Spirit, the Messenger, the work of the Holy Spirit, sanctification, even though we did not finish the power of Christ and the message that we had in that former series, Jesus Demonstrates Power Through Prayer, we'll touch upon those points in this series here, the Messenger, and just the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on me, to fall fresh on you. And so we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. In your notes there, at Roman numeral 1 in your outline, who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, who is the Holy Spirit? We're going to learn a little bit about who the Holy Spirit. George Whitefield, you may be familiar with that name, George Whitefield, lived in the 1700s, the 18th century. He's considered the father of the Great Awakening, in our country. But George Whitefield was one of the fathers. George Whitefield, and I'm right now to my mind, Jonathan Edwards, were the two great fathers of the Great Awakening, the revival that took place in America before our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War, before the founding of this nation. When the nation was still 13 colonies, George Whitefield came over from England and had a booming voice. He was known for his booming voice and his ability to preach out in the public, out in the air, and just reach multitudes of people. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, how many miles he was away from George Whitefield preaching out in the open, air, and he could still hear him. But it was like a mile or two, possibly even up to 5 miles away. And he said, I could still hear George Whitefield preaching. The great revival that took place. And, many scholars attribute the birth of this nation to the Great Awakening and the work of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. And Jonathan Edwards, if you're not familiar with that, preached one of the most famous sermons on the soil of America, and that was entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that sermon has been reproduced and reproduced and reproduced for the last almost 300 years. and a famous sermon. So he said the Holy Spirit was least known, least loved, and least worshipped member of the Trinity. Now, this quote was made long before the doctrine of the Holy Spirit was perverted by the charismatic movement. And we're going to learn about, what they've done to distort the whole teaching of the Holy Spirit. And they have made it into a circus. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, equal in power, wisdom, and majesty. All possess the same attributes. The Holy Spirit may be called the executive member of the Godhead, for he is in the world to carry out the plan and purposes of God the Father and God the Son. Let me say that there is no doctrine that has been more misused, abused, and dishonored. It has been maligned. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit has been maligned. Church history will prove, and let me have you change that. It says two great truths were lost to the church. Put three great truths were lost to the church for a long period of time. They are the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the second coming of Christ, and the millennial exclusion. That would be the third one, the millennial exclusion or kingdom accountability doctrine truth. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, the second coming of Christ, and the third one being the millennial exclusion or kingdom accountability. And so history will prove that out. The teaching of the Holy Spirit has been misguided, misplaced. The second coming of Christ, it wasn't until the 1800s when there was just a preachers from both England and America were writing and studying and reading, and they had conferences on the second coming of Christ and the restoration of the second coming of Christ and all the events that will take place leading up to the second coming of Christ was restored in the churches. And because of the great time of peace and the availability of the Word of God, and the teaching of the second coming of Christ. And we know a lot about the millennial exclusion and kingdom accountability and that issue. Now, I have been telling you a lot. Most of you in this room know that I have taught or discussed the secret history of the Jesuits. And I had it on my phone, and I was planning on reading it from my phone. I just want to read to you the introduction. But Bob had found the book and purchased it while he was down in Florida, and he brought it up. He finished reading it. He said some sections he had to read over again multiple times, and he gave me the book. So I appreciate that, Bob. And this way I can read it right out of the pages of the book. In the introduction to this book was written by Dr. Alberto Rivera. He was a Jesuit priest that was under the extreme oath and induction and was trained in the Vatican and briefed on the history of the Jesuits. And he came to a saving knowledge of Christ. He came out of that Jesuit background, and he writes the introduction to this book. He says, the most dangerous of men. Now, why, you may be asking, why are you reading this now with the Holy Spirit? Because the maligning of the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is just tied in with all that's going on in perverting doctrine, perverting truth, and he bears this out, but I'll just say it now. To malign the power of the pulpit, to malign, to destroy, to weaken the power of the pulpit and God's word, and which holds back the power of the Holy Spirit to bring another revival. That holds back the power to bring another revival on the face of the earth, especially in America. The most dangerous of men, he writes, are those who appear very religious, especially when they are organized and in a position of authority. They have the deep respect of the people who are ignorant of their ungodly push for power behind the scenes. These religious men who pretend to love God will resort to murder, incite revolution, and wars if necessary to help their cause. They are crafty, intellect, smooth religious politicians who live in a shadowy world of secrets, intrigue, and phony holiness. This pattern seen in the secret history of the Jesuits, spiritually speaking, can be seen in the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees at the time of Jesus Christ. This same evil spirit directed the Roman emperors to issue the 10 murderous decrees to persecute the early Christian church. And what he's referring there, if you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read about the wave of persecution by the emperors. It went before the fall of the Roman Empire in the first few centuries of the church, and after the Christ ascended up into heaven, there were just some of those emperors, some of those Caesars, issued decrees of just slaughtering Christians and maimed the Christians, brought them into their coliseums and allowed wild beasts to fall upon them destroy them and rip them apart, or gladiators. And they were just treated like worse than dogs are treated in a dog fight, or roosters are treated in a rooster fight. They were maimed and destroyed. The early fathers observed most of the ancient Babylonian system, plus Jewish theology and Greek philosophy. They all perverted most of the teachings of Christ and his apostles. They paved the way for the Roman Catholic machine that was to come into existence. Piously, they attacked, perverted, added to, and took away from the Bible. This religious Antichrist spirit working through them is seen again with Ignatius de Loyola, who's the father. He created the Jesuits to secretly accomplish two major goals for the church: universal political power and universal church, in fulfillment of the prophecies that we have read in Revelation chapter 6, 13, 17, and 18. We read those, especially 18 and 17 and 18, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night. By the time Ignatius arrived on the scene, the Protestant Reformation had seriously damaged the Roman Catholic system. Ignatius came to the conclusion that the only way his church could survive was by enforcing the canons and doctrines in the temporal power of the Pope and the church institution. Not by just destroying the physical life of the people alone, as the Dominican priests were doing through the Inquisition, but by infiltration and penetration into every sector of life. Protestantism must be conquered and used for the benefit of the Pope. Loyola's personal proposal, among others, to Pope Paul III. Jesuits immediately went to work secretly. Here it is. Jesuits immediately went to work secretly, infiltrating all the Protestant groups including their families, places of work, hospitals, schools, colleges, etc. Today, the Jesuits have almost completed that mission. The Bible puts the power of a local church into the hands of a godly pastor. But by the cunning Jesuits successfully managed over the years to remove that power, there is, remove the power from the pulpit into the hands of denominational headquarters, and have now pushed almost all of the Protestant denominations into the arms of the Vatican. This is exactly what Loyola says set out to accomplish, a universal church and the end of Protestantism. As you read this book, you will see there is a parallel between the religious and political sectors. The author, Mr. Paris, reveals the penetration and infiltration of the Jesuits into the governments and nations of the world to manipulate the course of history by setting up dictatorships, weakening democracies such as the United States of America, by paving the way for social, political, moral, military, educational, and religious anarchy. And they brought about the charismatic movement. They brought about the charismatic movement to distort what brings power to the church. They distorted the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And that is why so many churches in America are dying, especially the Protestant churches, the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans. They're dying left and right, the Episcopal Church. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is just part of the part of messing around with the scriptures and all the Bible versions that are written out there to weaken the Word of God and the power of truth. And we'll see how that has been affected with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So the Apostles' Creed, how many had to memorize the Apostles' Creed? If you got confirmed in your church, you had to memorize the Apostles' Creed. May recite, "I believe in the Holy Ghost." But this is all the Protestants know about him. His name is mentioned 93 times in the New Testament. We see his place in this age of grace, which is the dispensation of the ministration of the Spirit. He is to have the preeminence in church work, social work, and mission work. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" The Holy Spirit was present at the onset of creation. So we see the Holy Spirit at the beginning of creation in the book of Genesis. In verse 2, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, notice God's Spirit is moving. God created the sun on the first day, correct? How many believe? I mean, the fourth day, not the first day. He created light on the first day. There was day and night on the earth before the sun was created in the heavens. How is that possible? Don't we think that we get the daylight from the sun, right? Out here, the reason it's day is because of the sunlight. But the first 3 days, there was no sun in the sky in creation. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters. That was the Spirit. And the Spirit of God caused the difference between day and night. The glory of God, His glory, shone upon the earth. Next bullet point. He will be present in the new creation in the eternal age to come. So we see the Holy Spirit at the beginning of creation. And we see the Holy Spirit in the last book, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst, "Come." And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And we sing that song. We have sung that song in the purse. Come and dine. For the Master calleth. Come and dine. The Holy Spirit calleth. The bride says, come and dine. And so we're being called by God and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the calling to be part of the bride and to take the water of life freely. And we'll see that this water of life freely is the Spirit of God. Jesus, early in his ministry, introduces us to the Comforter. Brother Andy has kept that song going for us. And we see that in our song list that we have been singing, the Comforter has come. So this is one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, also called the Spirit of Truth. The Bible is called the Word of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Now, does that mean forever and ever and ever he will abide? He will abide with you and I, who are believers, until you die. Then he returns up to the Father. The Spirit returns up to the Father, just the Spirit does. But that forever there means just for your lifespan, my lifespan, everyone who's a believer in Christ for their lifespan. But he will be here for that 2,000-year church age, or the ministration of the Spirit, as we saw there. This dispensation, this age. So let me start over. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. So who was the first Comforter? If that's another Comforter, who's the first Comforter? Jesus Christ. Right, Jesus Christ. He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay, even the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter is also called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. Shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches in this room.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.